Hey, everybody, welcome to the Grow Yourself Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin McNulty, and this is your Personal Development School of Growth, where each week my guests and I will bring and break down big ideas and practices that will help you learn, grow, and succeed in life. Thanks for checking us out. Now, let the growth begin. Hey, everybody, you know, listen, thank you for joining me on another episode of Grow Yourself. But it's not just another episode. Honestly, I say this sincerely. I don't know how you describe her, a rock star, a badass. I mean, you know, there are all kinds of ways that I could actually describe this guest of mine. Some of you will recognize her. Maybe many of you will recognize her from the different roles that she's played. But here's the thing. She's taken on some big roles and she's come through. And now she's, she's really an incredible, notable professional. But also, I've come to learn in a short period of time of just speaking with her, but more just following her. She's a great human being as well. And so Colonel Martha McSally is a pioneering, combat proven leader, an inspiring speaker, and a celebrated author. Frankly, Martha is that compelling example of overcoming adversity and fear to achieve really extraordinary feats. She lost her dad at the age of 12. She survived sexual abuse and assault, and then she persevered to become, wait for it, the first woman in U.S. history to fly a fighter jet in combat and to command a fighter squadron in combat. Along her journey, Martha had to overcome, as you can imagine, significant obstacles, including a U.S. law prohibiting women to fly combat jets. But as I said, she persevered, and that's what she's about. She held on to her dreams, she continued to excel, and shattered glass ceilings like you wouldn't believe. By the way, did I tell you she's a former U.S. representative and a former U.S. senator? So it's just my honor and my privilege to have her on as my guest on Grow Yourself. Colonel Martha McSally, thank you for being here.
Gavin, call me Martha. Great, okay.
I'd love for people just to know a little bit about who is Martha. Tell us a little bit about where you're from, where you grew up, and how you ended up in the really great circumstances that you didn't find yourself in, that you put yourself in, quite frankly.
Well, thanks, Kevin. It's a crazy story of how I went from being a shy, motion sick, chubby little girl to becoming America's first female combat fighter pilot, you know, later first to command a fighter squadron in combat. I grew up the youngest of five kids in Rhode Island a very stable middle-class family, was super blessed. Didn't realize it at the time, but my dad came from pretty humble circumstances and some people believed in him, gave him some opportunities. And he also served in the military, in the Navy, used his GI Bill. And my dad was just very driven to make a better life for us kids, like pass it on to the next generation and to serve his community. So I grew up with those values of just hard work, education, service, you know, personal responsibility, do something meaningful with your life. And my life took a massive inflection point change and trajectory when he very suddenly passed away when I was 12 years old. And I was between sixth and seventh grade. And I went from everything being stable to just going through the grief. And before he died, he told me to make him proud. So now, you know, on this path, I'm driven to make him proud, but just dealing with the grief.
Got it.
And then my mom, God bless her, she went back to school right away to get her master's, back to work, hit with a 2x4, you know, as a single mom and a widow with five kids. And so anyway, my trajectory was not easy. Those are some rough years where I was very driven, on paper, you know, succeeding at everything, valedictorian, involved in cross country and swimming and track and all sorts of other stuff, but also experienced some additional trauma. I share this openly. My track coach, who I looked up to as a father figure, then violated that. And so it was not easy. And these things that could have crushed me, Kevin, I look back now. At the time, obviously, I was just trying to, you know, live my life and survive and thrive, but I wouldn't even have used any of those words, right? And just trying to do something meaningful with my own life. And so, you know, off I go to the Air Force Academy, but I had no idea what I was getting into. Like, I didn't even want to fly. I thought I wanted to be a doctor. And I got there. I thought the challenge would be good for me. I'm a little bit of a feisty slash rebellious spirit, change agent, entrepreneur.
Kind of noticed that.
Yeah, I thought, you know, combined with, again, the unresolved grief and, you know, emotional stuff, like I just thought it would give me a good trajectory to go in to kind of channel everything into something meaningful. Again, I wouldn't use those words at the time. Give myself a challenge, give myself a purpose, not be saddled in debt, pay back in service. But I thought I'd be a doctor. And I got to the academy and found out that it was against the law for women to be fighter pilots. And it just pissed me off. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. We're going through the same training. And just because you're a boy, you get to do this. And I'm a girl and I can't. And I just said, well, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I channeled that sort of feistiness into a dream. And I just decided I'm going to be a fighter pilot. I'm going to be the first woman fighter pilot. And people laughed at me and said it's against the law. And I was like, I don't care. We live in America. Laws change. And so anyway, that's kind of the beginning of the story, the cliff notes of it all. Lots of stuff in that journey. But off I went on this trajectory.
And that's incredible. And perhaps we'll mention it later. But you went on to, by the way, become a congresswoman and then a senator. And there's probably a lot in between there, but I want to ask you about this really quick, since you mentioned this. You know, I think many young people, I have two young daughters who, well, they're grown now, but, you know, there's so many that look back at their life, and I've done this too, and think, oh, you know, it wasn't perfect. You know, my dad did this, or my mom did this, or I was bullied, or one of this, and not to diminish those things. But there are those, it appears to me, who then fall into that victim mentality. And then there are those like you who say, nope, I'm going to use it as fuel.
Yes.
And so how do you maybe encourage, and we'll talk mostly about in this terms about our younger people, younger adults. What do you tell them about looking back and using that as fuel for the future?
I will say, look, I shared a little bit of the trauma that I went through, and so many people have been through worse than that. But a similar dynamic that can happen to us, like you said, is we can ruminate on, you know, playing the tape over and over and over again, or we can have what happened to us in the past, either big T trauma or little T trauma, because we've all been through little T, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody said something to us, or a teacher, a coach, or a family member, something that we may not even be aware has been driving us either in fear or in like a limiting belief about ourselves, or not believing we're enough. And I didn't catch the point I was doing this at the time, but what I did and what I teach and encourage others to do and everything I'm doing right now is you have to decide today. Like, we only can impact today. We can't impact tomorrow. That's fear. That's anxiety, future focused. We can't change the facts of what happened in the past, but we can reframe it to say it happened for me, not to me.
Oh, man.
And so I look at these awful things that I went through that no kidding could have crushed me. And by the grace of God, but also my choices, I decided they're not going to crush me. I'm not just going to survive. I'm going to thrive. They can't rob me of today. And even more important, that it's not just like, oh, I'm just going to limp through despite this, you know, injury I've had. If you look at the trajectory of my life, those traumas were my jet fuel. So I would not have had I don't think I would have had the strength to say, what do you mean I can't be a fighter pilot because I'm a girl? Had I not been sexually abused by my coach, I want everyone to listen. Had I not gone through that awful thing, I wouldn't have had the seed that could germinate to say, don't hold me down, don't hold me back just because I'm a girl. So that victim experience I had, I turned it into, I'm going to find my voice and I'm going to say that's wrong. And I'm going to show you that the jet doesn't care if you have ovaries. And I used it to propel me and strengthen me along the way. And there's other examples of that. You know, I shared recently about taking on the Pentagon in an 8-year battle over making our service women wear burqas. All of that is actually related to me having survived sexual abuse and later sexual assault in the military. I see it as something that has strengthened me and propelled me. And the same thing can happen to you, whoever is listening and watching right now. The same thing can happen in your life. The very worst thing that you've been through that maybe you've never told anyone about, maybe you're trying to keep it in a dark corner, those things that are buried alive. So there is a path you can take to healing, to courage, to wholeness, to strength, and then also to use those awful experiences as a way for your next chapter in your life, to serve others, to realize how you've grown through them, how they've strengthened you. These awful things can propel you. So do not let them hold you back. I remember thinking, you know, my perpetrator's not thinking about me right now. No. Why am I letting him ruin my day? Like, why would I do that? And that, again, there's a lot of tools in there, and I'm teaching those tools to people right now. How do you have those tools that every day, in each moment, you're taking the path to healing, to wholeness, to courage, so fear is not holding you back and your past is not holding you back?
I even hear people now talk about like a traumatic event that they had years ago, and they think about the person, they talk about how thinking about the person from time to time, and this is not even maybe a seriously traumatic event.
Yeah.
But I sometimes listen and I go, you know, why are you even giving them space in your head?
You're giving them power. Like, they have rent free space in your head. Why are you giving them power? They did something that maybe hurt you or harmed you or disrespected you again, or much worse. But why are you giving them power today?
Using energy.
They don't deserve it. It sucks your energy, right? And then it keeps you in this thought cycle that's going to impact your opportunities and what you attract in your life right now. Because if you are going to continue to attract, like, either, you know, you're filled with anger or revenge. Yeah. I say this sentence, I've talked about this in my book. Bitterness is the poison pill you swallow expecting the other person to die. Like, there's no value comes from you taking your energy today. And it, that takes up the space of the opportunity of abundance and of courage and purpose and well-being and satisfaction in all aspects of your life. If you're getting up in the morning and you're being dragged down by anger, whatever, there's a lot of words, you know, that could just keep you in this place of, you know, revenge or hate or, and it's all understandable. This is the other important lesson, Kevin. It's all understandable. You have to have compassion on yourself without judgment when you have these feelings. And it really, the first step is awareness. Like, I'm thinking about this event right now. Okay. Watch it like an observer, like a cloud going by, like a conveyor belt. Watch it without judgment and with compassion. And then, like, you know, there's opportunities for you to pick another thought, because we control our thoughts, by the way.
Absolutely.
Even though we sometimes feel like we're stuck in, you know, cycles of negative thoughts, you can have the first one, awareness, and then you can choose something else. You could go a little deeper and ask yourself why in a safe place by yourself, in journaling or with somebody else, whether that's a coach or a friend or a therapist. There's opportunities for you to unpack that and then let it go and be free of it. It can be beautifully easy. It may take time, because our patterns, we get into a rut of our patterns of thinking that either stay in the negative pattern, but the same thing can happen with the positive pattern. And then you start building new thought patterns, and you can see how it propels you in an amazing way.
I love the way that you're putting this, from the standpoint that you said, you know, you can have the one thought, but then the second time around, if you will, you can choose the second one. And it does remind me, you may have read this book by Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning,
where he
talks about choosing your attitude. And that's what you're talking about. And I do want to ask you about that. Martha, is courage a choice, in fact?
Courage is a choice. I mean, I didn't just, you know, come out of my mother's womb with the courage to fly the A-10 Warthog back here, this, you know, plane I flew in combat, single seat. Okay. When I went through training, the first flight was solo. There were no simulators. I had never flown the plane before. Okay. So I wasn't born with that courage. And so my view is, courage is a choice. Sometimes people look at people like us who served in the military and they just think we're not like them. Mm-hmm. We are exactly like you. I mean, I've felt fear in my journey along the way every single time, but in that fear, in that feeling of fear, I made choices to do things afraid. I made choices to take off afraid. I made choices to cross into the combat zone afraid. I made choices to take the guide on and command a squadron of men and women with their lives are in my hand afraid. And what I did when I made that choice in my head, when I felt the fear and I said, I know I'm ready for this, I'm going to learn I'm going to learn. I'm going to grow my capabilities. I don't have all the answers, but I'm going to choose to do this afraid. Then I started to build my confidence and my capabilities. And then you build a pattern, a muscle memory, like an athlete, of like the next time you feel that way, you're like, I know this feeling, courage. You know, I'm choosing courage. I'm not choosing fear. And I'm just going to keep growing in my courage and my confidence and my capabilities and getting comfortable being uncomfortable. People similarly go in the other direction where they feel the fear and they then let it drive them. Yes. And then they get comfortable in that muscle memory pattern. Like, oh, again, and I'm just going to stay in that cycle. And they try to control the world and external circumstances, and they don't want to fail. They don't like fear the unknown or fear of failure or fear, like all the fears that are there. And they try to put a moat around themselves in order to minimize that. You can't do that. And that's a very difficult, challenging, miserable way to live. And we all know people in our lives who have done that. But in a moment, like right now, when you're listening to this, as a fear comes up for whatever it is, it could be a deep existential fear. You could have a diagnosis right now and you're afraid of dying or the process or your health or a loved one or a new like direction you want to go in, but you're afraid you're going to fail or you have a scarcity mindset, fear of loss, whatever that is for you in this moment, you can sit with yourself, take a deep breath, just settle the monkey brain that's constantly trying to tell you. Right. Settle it down and find that courage, breathe into it. By the way, difference between fear. I'm giving away a lot of techniques here.
Yes, you are.
Same feeling in our brains, fight, flight, or freeze. Okay. And we were designed that way. So there's nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you. We were designed to survive, but we keep seeing saber-tooth tigers out there that are not actually saber-tooth tigers. And we get confused. That's kind of the evolution. But when you feel that fight, flight, or fear, normally fight or flight or freeze, it's that fear. Normally, what do we do with our breath? We hold our breath. But if you sit with yourself, take a deep breath, kind of breathe into it, like settle the monkey brain, even though you're still going to feel uncomfortable, and say, I have clarity on what I'm going to do next. And you take that step right there, you will build your courage.
That's incredible. And I just honestly, I say this so sincerely that you put them in words that really people can really absorb. And I will speak to my wife right now, honey, if you're listening to this, you heard Martha, Colonel, Senator McSally say, you don't have to fear Kevin driving. You can let him drive now and then. I'm just saying.
I don't know how you drive, Kevin. I want to make sure that you're a safe driver.
Supposed to have my back. She's actually Air Force veteran too, so I guess you got her back on that one. No, but you know, really brilliant words put into great terms about this idea of choosing that, not to oversimplify it, which you're not.
But it
can be as simple as a decision that you make. You know, people ask me all the time, how do I get more confident? How do I be more confident and courageous? Yeah. I think you just described it. And part of it is in fact, because you didn't say, get rid of the fear and do it. You said, do it afraid.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's what it takes. And as I said, the more that you do it, the more confident you instill in yourself, and then you try again. And that's how you become courageous and confident. Is that correct?
Well, think about, so the first time I took off in the A-10, I was nauseous. My heart was beating fast. I felt like I was going to throw up. My mouth was dry. All those typical physiological, like, I'm afraid. But I looked over at my instructor. I looked at my crew chief. I had been through the training. They all cleared me to go. They had confidence in me. The tower said, you're cleared for takeoff. The only limitation was right here. And it was a 10-year dream in the making that I wanted to become a fighter pilot. It took a long time to change the law and the policies and all that. But when I was finally clear for takeoff, I was afraid. I could have just taxied in. It would have been a rational thing to do. I'd never flown this plane before.
That's right. Yeah.
But I decided to take off afraid. And I pushed the power up, came off the brakes, got airborne, gear flaps. And I remember just for a moment, I looked over at my instructor pilot. I looked at him and I saw this A-10 flying next to me. I was like, oh my gosh, that's me. Like, it looks like how I'm an A-10 pilot. And then I was like, I got to figure out how to land this thing. But here's the point. Think about the first time that you drove a car. Think about like you're, you know, 16 years old, you got your, like everything consciously is engaged in every part of the activity. Oh, I got to put the blinker on. How do I parallel park? Like my speed, my brake,
all of those different things.
All, it's all taking full conscious thought. But then think about, did you get to a place where you drove to work and you don't even remember how you got there? Because it was then just put in your unconscious because you had such a pattern recognition and you were so comfortable with it that you were able to do it. And then actually, hopefully you were paying somewhat attention of everything around you, but you were dedicating your conscious to other things. So it's the same idea. Any new capability, getting out of a bad situation, a new adventure that you want to go on, a new thing you want to do in your life or your business, it's going to feel extremely uncomfortable. But as soon as you build those capabilities, I got to the point where I was an A-10 instructor pilot, where me flying my plane was a given. I now had to talk on the radio to keep my student alive and to direct them when to pull up, when to turn up, like in night, in the weather, in combat, on an air refueling tanker. I mean, how did I get from that first takeoff to that? Wow. I chose to do things afraid. I went from the conscious to the unconscious. I built the patterns, I did the repetition, and I built the capability. And anybody listening, you may never fly a fighter jet. That's not the point. But whatever you're afraid of doing is usually the very thing you need to do, because like, you know, your higher self, you know, God, the universe is probably telling you that's what you need to do. And then the fear is coming in to stop you. That's what you need to sit with and make the decision to do things afraid. And then that's the very direction usually you need to go.
Wow. There's just got to be a million analogies that you can use from being a fighter pilot. You know, I'm also thinking about this idea, and I would like to maybe just get a little glimpse for the audience of, you know, people don't know about A-10s, and I'm not highly familiar with them, even though I spent all that time. You know, I think the closest I got were the F-111s. But the A-10's a different kind of an aircraft, isn't it? You don't just fly high. You have to do these dives, right?
Yeah, our entire job is what they call close air support. It was built to go against Soviet tanks on the front line. It's been adapted over time for all sorts of scenarios, but where Americans are on the ground, under fire, often in close proximity to the enemy, the risk of friendly fire, fratricide is high if you make a mistake. So the stakes are really high. It's often extremely chaotic. We would take off in Afghanistan with on our dashboard, the maps of the entire country, and we would be on a routine combat mission, which is kind of an oxymoron, obviously. But we would often get diverted to where there were troops under fire. Maybe some had already been hurt or worse, and they needed our help and they were calling in for support. So we would show up and sometimes we would only have a radio frequency, a grid coordinate, and a call sign and said, you know, go help these guys. And so we've got this titanium bathtub around us to protect us from ground fire, because we're often close where, you know, the threats are real for us. We've got these 11 weapons pylons here for all sorts of bombs and missiles. One of mine fell off. I got to glue it back on. And we've got this big gun. The joke is that they, you know, the folklore is that they built the gun and went to the engineers and said, figure out how to fly this gun. And it's got 30 millimeter bullets in it.
That's incredible. Look at that.
This size, it can't even fit it into the screen.
Put that bottle next to it. People can see this, the size of this.
So this is a smart water bottle. It's got some probiotic in it. It's not dirty, but you can see the size.
Look at that.
It's a 1 liter bottle. And so there's 1,174 of these in the plane, and it's extremely precise. But what we do, again, it's, I mean, every combat mission is different and every employment is different. And you have to, I had to learn how to manage what was going on inside me and stay in a clear state of being fully present by flying in that cockpit and being on these missions. There was no other choice. I couldn't be worrying about a fight I had with somebody that morning or like what I'm going to do in the future. You have to be fully present. And I learned those skills, and now I'm teaching those skills to others for whatever's going on in their life. Again, it doesn't matter whether you're in a cockpit.
I think that's great, you know, because the principle that you're explaining there crosses anything. And so when you think about putting that sort of whole principle to it, there's the part about that you were highly trained when you went in there and you worked really hard to get to that place. And that in and of itself is whatever you want to be, you know, whether it's a surfer or a CEO or whatever, go out and get yourself trained, right?
Yes.
And then, you know, I remember Roger Federer said this one time, the great tennis player. He said, we work for years and years and years. We work hard. We study. We agonize. We train. We develop and all these sorts of things. And then when you go out onto the court to play a match, they tell you to forget everything you learned. That's an amazing principle, isn't it?
Yes, because you when you get on the court, you have to be in what is, I now understand, I was living these things, but now I have a deeper understanding of what they actually are scientifically. This is a flow, it's called a flow state. You're full, you know, fully present in the moment, and you are just allowing yourself to be, and then take advantage of all of your reflexes and response from all the training that you've done, because you're able to be in the moment. You can't overthink it. Oh, they're coming over here. Should I go right or left? You just have to do it.
Do it.
And I also would encourage everyone, again, whatever it is your dream is, I decided at 18, I'm going to be a fighter pilot. It was against the law at the time. Okay. So a lot of people said, it's against the law. I can't do that. I said, I'm going to be a fighter pilot. I decided it. I didn't hope for it. I didn't want it, because actually the energy of wanting actually is just reiterating that you don't have it. Okay.
Right. Good point.
I just said, I'm going to be a fighter pilot. Okay. And it took me 10 years, but in every moment and every decision, I had clarity. That's what I was going to be. And I made decisions to keep the options open and to build my skills and not have a chip on my shoulder, but I decided that's what I was going to do. And then you work backwards from there to make it happen. If you have a limiting belief, maybe I can't, maybe it's going to not, then you're constantly messing with yourself. But if you just decide, it's, some people say, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, Wayne Dyer says, believe it first and then you'll see it, right? You've got to see it and decide it. And then the journey will open itself up along the way with the hard work and the training and everything you need to do. And you got to be flexible. And look, in the end, you may change your decision because you grow and other opportunities go up. That's fine. But you have to have that destination. When you take off in a plane, you have to know where you're going. You have to know where you're starting from in order for you to even get a vector. And then you learn along the way and you grow and all sorts of amazing things happen in the journey.
You know, it's an amazing principle. You're talking about, you know, about developing that clarity of your vision, your mission, whatever. Yes. It's even biblical. I mean, I think somewhere in the Bible, it says something about without a vision, the people will
perish.
Without
a vision, people perish.
Yes. And so these are really important things. So, so about your book and also your masterclass that's coming out next week, I believe it is, you know, Bye-Bye Fear. I want to ask you this relative to, and then I want to get all the information about that. But you say, I think it's in your book, you say something about the, you know, to clear the runway of your life. And, you know, what does that mean to clear the runway of your life, you know? Probably along the lines of what we're already talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Look, these things are simple, but we make them really complicated.
Yeah.
About spending a little bit of time to assess your situational awareness. Where am I and where do I want to go? And then how am I going to get there? But very few of us actually sit down and say, what do I really want? In all aspects of my life, in my personal life, my health, which is physical, emotional, spiritual, my relationships, whether it's with an intimate partner or marriage, you know, family, friends, my profession, the work and the career I'm currently in, the one I maybe want to be in, but I'm not in, you know, all that goes with that, my impact, my fun, my adventure. We often don't take the time to just go like, where am I? Like, where am I in all these areas of my life? We have ideas of where we'd like to be, but often we're not where we want to be. But all progress starts by telling the truth, Dan Sullivan says, right? So like, where am I? Not with shame, not with judgment, always with compassion. And where do I want to go? Where do I want to be? And then how am I going to get there? So I've run the Hawaii Ironman Triathlon. I've climbed Mount Kilimanjaro and Mount Blanc. Like, I've done a lot of like really crazy hard things in my life. So I have a formula here on how to do really hard things. Instead of go, I didn't even own a bicycle and had never done a triathlon when I decided I'm going to run the Hawaii Ironman Triathlon someday. And I took on the identity of someone who runs the Hawaii Ironman Triathlon. And then that impacted what I did on a daily basis. Well, I guess I should buy a bike. Well, I guess I should run a marathon first. Maybe I should go running this morning when I don't feel like it, because that's what people do. So, you know, building a step-by-step flight plan on how you're going to get there is also something I'm helping people do these days, right? So but you got to know where you're starting. You got to be clear about what you want and where you're going. And then this is where people get tripped up. If they do those first steps, they just don't have the tools, and things get in their way, or their limiting beliefs get in their way, or a little bit of resistance, and then they stop. They desire, they want, but they just can't seem to get there. And so there are practical tools that I've used in my own life that I'm sharing with people for them to be able to get the how do you get from point A to point B in order to be able to take off, take off on the runway to your, destination. And often fear is one of the biggest things that holds people back.
And there's just nothing. I mean, you've clearly, listening to you, clearly have become a teacher, really for so many. And you've been down the tough road, and you've learned a lot. And I speak to people all the time. I listen to very successful people and whatever. And I find some successful people incredibly successful, but they can't really sort of iterate or articulate what they've learned.
Yeah.
You've turned into a master teacher here. I want to ask you about the Bye-Bye Fear, but may I just ask first about your book? Can you tell tell the folks a little bit about your book?
Yeah, sure. This book is Dare to Fly, Simple Lessons in Never Giving Up. It's not an autobiography, but I do share some stories of unique experiences I've had. But then I share nuggets of wisdom in order for you to be able to fly in your own life, which takes courage, overcoming fear, so that you can take off and fly and reach your destiny. So it's some of those nuggets along the way. And just trying to, I'm a purpose-driven person. I've been serving others my whole life. It's just a part of my life purpose. It is my life purpose. And so I'm doing it in different ways, first in uniform, then in other places, and now, through my book and through my teaching, my speaking. But I've been doing it my whole life. Like, I think back when I was a commander in Afghanistan, we were sitting around, and I don't even tell this story in my book, with a bunch of my troops, and some of them struggled to pass the annual fitness test. And I said, I think anybody who goes through the right training, buys the right shoes, follows some basic guidance can finish a marathon. And they were like, there's no way. I can't finish a marathon. I said, yes, you can. We sat there in Afghanistan one night. I said, all of you right here, will you agree that if you follow a training program that I create for you, and you come out and you do the runs, and we get you fit with the right shoes, and we make sure you're set up for success, that you will sign up for this? And we're going to all run a marathon in about 6 months. Long story short, every single one of them, to include the people who were struggling to pass the mile and a half fitness test, crossed the finish line of the San Diego Marathon, every single one of them. So I just have this heart for people to package sometimes the lessons I learned the hard way, or how to not do it. Or sometimes I took the brute force method when maybe wiser years see that there are path of least resistance methods that you can get to what you want to do and who you want to be and how you want to be in your life. And I do it every single day. I mean, last week I was talking to somebody at the park when I was with my dog, and just a gentleman, I'd seen him a couple of times, and he was struggling with a situation that he had where he was became the executor of a will from his aunt. And anyway, it's a long story, but I just connected with him where he just wasn't sure what to do. And I just gave him some techniques on how to clear the monkey brain, clear his fear, clear the fear out of there, to sit with himself and to get that clarity of exactly what he should do. And yesterday I saw him again, and like with tears in his eyes, he told me what he decided and how it impacted people. And I was just like, oh my God, it's incredible. This is, so I'm so grateful. And so what I'm doing, Kevin, is I've decided right now, I've got my book out there and I'm doing keynote speaking and I'm on the board of directors of three companies. So I do a lot of executive coaching. I just feel like I want to get my message out to more people, and specifically this masterclass is for women. Sorry, guys, I'll have more stuff for you later. But specifically, I've created this Bye-Bye Fear masterclass for women. It's a free, can I say again, free live masterclass, September 26th at 6 p.m. Pacific time.
Pacific, okay.
9 p.m. Eastern time. Sorry, it'll be a little late. I was trying to catch everybody after work and all those time zones, right? Like trying to do some prime time event. You can go to MarthaMcSally.com/event, or if you just go to MarthaMcSally.com, it'll be a pop-up, and sign up for it. We'll get you the Zoom link. We'll get you in there. Like, bring your friends. If you're a woman, I don't care what your age is. If you are struggling with your confidence, if you at work have felt like, I don't feel like I have a voice, like, or I can't ask for that raise or promotion, or I don't want to speak up in this meeting because I feel like I won't be listened to, or maybe I need to get out of this bad relationship, or I need to show, have some adventure in my life. Your identity has been tied to raising your kids and taking care of your parents, and you're at a transition point and you're trying to look for that courage for what you really want in your life. I don't care if you're, you know, 15 or 75, show up to the Bye Bye Fear Masterclass, because we all have these traits in common where fear holds us back and we need a little dose of courage and confidence. And I'm going to be your wingman for you and your journey and show up for this class.
You know, and listen, folks out there listening, you know, you're not talking to the average woman. I'm just going to say you know, Martha, you have really worked it hard and you've been in some hard circumstances. And so to say that I'm going to teach you about how bye-bye fear, this is not just coming from like an academic standpoint. You bring the goods. And I think that's very, very important. Well, listen, all of what you said will be in the show notes. And if you all see this, please share that, share it on your social media. And let's make this big for Senator, Congressman, Colonel Martha Sally, you know. Well, listen, I just can't tell you enough. I have to say that people like you, you know, you've gone out and done the really hard, hard, dirty work for a long time. And now you're coming here and in 30 minutes or so sharing incredible nuggets for the rest of us to grow. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate a person like you.
Absolutely. And you know what, everybody, like, it doesn't mean you have to do it the hard way. I did it the hard way so that you can kind of hack the process and do it the easy way. And that's why I want you to show up. Come to the masterclass.
And that is the point. Thank you so much. And God bless you. Okay.
All right.
All right, Martha. Thank you.